You know, we usually kind of do things a little bit differently, but this initial class is going to be conducted a little differently, I think. But I'd like to welcome everyone to this first session of our Growing Believers class. I'm really excited to be taking this on. I think we're all going to be greatly benefited by the trip we're going to be taking into the realm of Bible doctrine as it's found in the wonderful Word of God. The title of this first class is called, appropriately enough, First Things First. If that sounds familiar, you may have noticed that there's a booklet back there by the same title. And this class is based very closely to the content of that booklet. If you don't have one, go ahead and pick. I don't know how many we got back there. I probably need to order some more. But we'll be ordering some, so if there's not enough back there, but I would encourage you to go ahead and pick up a copy and have it. Now, this Growing Believers class is essentially a course in basic Bible doctrine. And similar to a course that you would take in school, it has a prerequisite. And we're going to spend the bulk of the time in this first session making sure that we're all on the same footing with respect to this prerequisite. And that prerequisite is you must be a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. If it's going to be of any value for what we're going to be covering, okay? You have to be on a foot. And there's a very specific reason for that. We'll be getting into it. Now, I know everybody pretty much here, and I'm pretty sure that everyone here has believed on the Lord Jesus Christ to be their personal Savior. But I don't know. I can't get inside your head, so I don't know for absolute sure on that. But we're also recording this class, and at some point there's going to be some people listening to this class via the internet, so it's real important that we cover the information we're going to be presenting for the sake of anyone listening who has not or may not have made the most important decision in their life with regard to their eternal future. So if you're sure that you're a believer, don't tune the rest of this message out, because what we're going to be covering is still going to be valuable to you in terms of your own personal understanding of your salvation, and it'll strengthen your own personal witness to other people, because that's, frankly, the reason why God left you here. Okay? Now, I don't know what's motivated you guys to attend this particular class, or if you're listening on the internet, maybe you're just curious, maybe intrigued by the idea of this Growing Believers class. Maybe you're responding to a spiritual hunger, okay? You may not even recognize it as such, but whatever the reason is, I want to ask you a rather direct and very personal question. Since we're in a classroom setting, obviously I'd prefer that you didn't answer me directly. But you do need to answer yourself, and you need to answer yourself honestly. If you were to die today, do you have any idea what would happen next? Where you'd go? Now, you need to be honest with yourself in considering this subject. If you're prone to playing games with yourself, this is one of those days when you don't need to be doing that. If you died today, would you go to heaven or would you go to hell? Not sure? Well, you have plenty of company, because that's the case with millions of other folks. Maybe you haven't worried too much about it. Maybe you believe there's no hereafter, that after you die, there's nothing as far as you're concerned. But maybe you do believe in a hereafter, but there's no heaven or hell. It's just another plane of existence. Or maybe you get reincarnated and you get another shot at life. Perhaps you do believe in heaven or hell, but you figure if you do more good things than bad, St. Peter will open up the pearly gates for you. Or maybe you've done some horrible things. and you feel like you're doomed. There's no way that God could ever forgive you. Anyone ever felt like that? Maybe you just don't believe in God, or maybe you do, but you don't think He really cares one way or the other about what you do, that you have no accountability to God. Maybe you think God doesn't really care about sin. Well, friends, there are multiplied millions all over the world that hold these same and many other concepts about God and heaven and hell. But there is a document that's been around for 1900 years, and much of it is far older than that, and it has something to say about all of these beliefs. And we know it, of course, as the Bible. And there's many millions and perhaps even billions of people from ancient times up to this very day who have staked their lives on the belief that the Bible is the very Word of God. Now, you may or may not be sure whether or not the Bible is or isn't the inspired Word of God. We're not going to get into that. But I would like for you for these few minutes to just assume that the Bible is true, that it says what it says is true, just for these few minutes. And if you'll do that for me, I'd like to show you what the Bible has to say about some of these beliefs. So we're going to take these one at a time. First, do you believe that there's no hereafter? That after you die, there's nothing? Well, here's what Hebrews 9 says. Okay. Hebrews 9:27. Pardon me. It says, man is destined to die once, and after that, to face judgment. So you see that the Bible says that there is an afterlife, and then in that afterlife, there will be judgment. Do you believe that there's no heaven or hell? Isaiah 66:1 says, this is what the Lord says, heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. Not only is there a heaven, but it's God's own very throne. And then there's Matthew 5:12, which says, rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. And then there's John 14:2, in my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. Okay? So not only is there a heaven, but people are going to be living there and they're going to be getting rewarded there. So what about hell? Well, here's a passage in Luke 16:22-23 where Jesus, where he was talking about a deceased rich man, he said, the rich man also died and was buried. In hell, where he was in torment, he looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. And in Revelation 20:15, the Bible refers to hell as the lake of fire. If anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. And then Psalm 19:17, the fate of the wicked is presented. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. So the Bible presents the reality of hell in no uncertain terms. So you reckon maybe reincarnation will give you another shot at life? Look what Hebrews 9:27 says again. We just looked at it a minute ago. Man is destined to die once, and after that, to face the judgment. So this emphatically denies the notion that you're going to be born, reborn, and reborn, and that you're going to get another shot at life each time. You die once, and there is no biblical support for reincarnation. So what about if you do more good things than bad things? Won't that get you into heaven? Here's Ephesians 2:8-9. For it's by grace that you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, so no one can boast. So the Bible makes it plain that no one can be saved by anything that they do. The Bible calls that works, so doing more good than bad is not going to get you into heaven. You think you're really not a sinner? 1 John 1:8. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Romans 3:10. As it is written, there is no one righteous, not even one. And Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. You think some that you've done things that are so awful that you cannot get forgiveness from God? It's not so. The Bible declares in many places that salvation is available to everyone. In John 6:37, Jesus says, whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. And Acts 2:21, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That's Romans 5:18. Consequently, just as the result of one trespass was condemnation for all men, so also the result of one act of righteousness was justification that brings life for all men. There we're talking about the one act that brought condemnation was the original fall of Adam in the garden. We'll talk about all that later on in the course. The result of the one act of righteousness was Jesus Christ going to the cross and dying for the sins of the world. So that was the one act of righteousness, and it brings justification to all men. Okay? Titus 2:11, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. Titus 2:11, grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. In case anybody's wondering, that means all women too, okay? All people, there you go. Okay, so there's no sin that you have committed that cannot be forgiven when you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Timothy 1:15, here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. He wasn't exaggerating here, Paul wasn't. He really was one of the worst sinners who ever lived. All right, listen to Isaiah 1:18. Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they'll be as wool. So never fear that you cannot be saved, my friends. Salvation is free, and it's available to everyone. You think God really doesn't exist? If that's the case, I got bad news for you. The Bible isn't very flattering to you. It says in Psalm 14:1, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. The Bible describes the atheist as a fool, but even atheists can be saved if they change their mind about God. You think God won't really hold all men accountable to Him? Well, don't kid yourself, friends. Ecclesiastes 12:14, for God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it's good or evil. The Bible gives us a very sobering account of the last judgment in Revelation 20, verses 11 through 15. Then I saw a great white throne and him who was seated on it. Earth and sky fled from his presence, and there was no place for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to what they had done as recorded in the books. The sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them. And each person was judged according to what he had done. And then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is the second death. If anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. You think God doesn't really care about sin? Here's Romans 6:16. 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. God says the ultimate consequence of sin is death. But He also says that He has a gift for man, and that's eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And that means you too, friend. The Bible describes all men as coming under judgment, and that includes you. And the Bible describes all those whose names were not found in the book of life as being cast into the lake of fire. Now, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but basically it works like this. Whenever a person is born, his name is written down into the book of life. Okay? But if he does not, during his lifetime, accept the Lord Jesus Christ as his personal Savior, his name gets blotted out of the book of life. And then at the final judgment, when the unbelievers are called before God to stand before Him in judgment, they'll look in that book of life. If the name's not there, then his doom is set. His doom is sealed. The Bible describes all those whose names weren't found in the book of life as being cast into the lake of fire. So, let me ask you again. If you were to die today, do you know where you'd go? You may not be any closer to an answer than you were before, but I really hope that you're a little more concerned about it than you were before. Okay? So hopefully by now you have a sense of the terrible predicament that you're in if you have not accepted God's gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ. So what is this gift of eternal life? Let's talk about that for a minute. God the Father, who knows everything, past, present, and future, knew who you were back before He ever created man. Jesus Christ, God the Son, knew you too. And He had you personally in mind when He went to the cross. So, they knew every sin that you'd ever commit. And so when Jesus Christ hung on the cross, the Father poured out on Him every sin that would ever be committed by every human who would ever be born. Past, present, and future, including all of yours. God then judged those sins and He condemned them and He assessed the penalty for those sins, which is death. And so Jesus Christ died for the sins of mankind, yours, mine, everyone who's ever lived and whoever will live. And because Jesus died for your sins and mine, He made it possible for us to have eternal life with God, with Him, instead of the second death. The lake of fire that we just read about. Friends, at this point, I'd like for us all to bow our heads. Okay? Would you please do that? Because if you've never believed in Christ, you need privacy to come before God. And if you're a believer, this gives you an opportunity to pray for those who are not. And if you're not sure, you can use this opportunity to be sure. So, how do we go about getting this eternal life that Romans 6:23 talks about? Well, this is the good news, my friends, because all we have to do to live with God forever is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's it. We must express faith alone in Christ alone. Jesus Christ is the only way to God. Now, here's what Acts 4:12 says. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. Jesus says in John 14:6, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And there's nothing we can add to faith in Christ either. Anything we add is works. That's what Ephesians 2:8 and 9 says. For by grace you've been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it's the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. So what's the alternative? John 3:18, whoever believes in Him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. So, friend, if you have never personally received Christ as your Savior, if you're an unbeliever, then in that condition, you are without any hope for eternal blessings. Instead, eternal condemnation is your future unless you make the one good decision that's open to you. Now, God has placed before you today the opportunity to gain eternal life, an eternity of inconceivable blessings in the presence of God. And we've already read about the alternative to this, eternal separation from Him. And as an unbeliever, your eternal future is one of endless regret, misery, and conscious agony in the lake of fire prepared for the devil and his angels. You can change this horrible future by one conscious decision. God has made a way of escape for you, but you must choose to do it God's way. Existing in hell forever does not have to be your fate. Here is the greatest opportunity of your life right in front of you. You can be saved right now, right where you sit. How? Acts 16:31 says, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved." So simply, in the privacy of your own thoughts, tell God the Father that you're believing in Christ and receiving Him as your Savior. The instant you do that is the instant that you receive eternal life and you're assured of an eternity with the Lord. It doesn't have to be a fancy prayer. In fact, it's better if it's not, because no one is saved because of flowery phrases. Something as simple as this will do. "Father, I believe Jesus Christ died for my sins, and right now I receive Him as my Savior." Amen. Yeah, that's it. Faith alone in Christ alone. Are you worried that maybe you don't have enough faith? Well, listen, God knows your heart. If you truly want to be saved, your simple statement of faith is enough. So, friend, if you have prayed that prayer in faith, then you are now a child of God. And according to 1 Peter 1:4 and 5, you have just entered into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that's ready to be revealed. Now, if you've accepted Christ as your Savior, then you're ready for the next part of God's plan, which is what we're going to be covering in the next several messages. If you're a brand new believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you need to immediately begin a diet of spiritual food. What do I mean by that? I mean you need to begin hearing and reading and feeding on the Word of God, just like a brand new baby needs to feed on his mother's milk. Okay? That's one of the meanings of the phrase born again. You've just been born into a spiritual realm and you need spiritual food. And of course, we have a number of resources available through our website. We have Bible studies, MP3 files of Bible classes, booklets, and as well this course. But these resources are not enough by themselves. For those of you who are listening via the internet, you also need a local church that teaches the Bible. If you're in our area, we'd love for you to visit us and see if the Lord will visit you, will bring you to our church. But regardless, whether it's this church or another, it's very important for your spiritual growth that you have the frequent company of other born-again believers. God designed the local church to meet the needs of believers, brand new ones as well as those who have been in the faith for many, many years. And God, ask God, and He will lead you to one. In the meantime, congratulations on the wisest choice you'll ever make, and welcome, my brothers and sisters, to the family of God. Now, next week we're going to begin looking at the first of what I like to call the basic tools that believers need to learn in order to be successful in living the Christian life. Okay, so that's what we're looking forward to next week. That's all I'm going to say about it. Let's bow for a moment of prayer. Father, thank You for Your Son who paid the price for our salvation and made it possible for any person to have eternal life if they'll receive the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Thank You for these spiritually hungry people here today. May their spiritual hunger be satisfied by the things they've heard today. And thank You for every person who may have responded to Your free offer of salvation. We pray that the Lord Jesus Christ has been honored in this Bible class, and we pray for every person hearing these words, for it's in His name we ask it. Amen.
crown him with many crowns, the Lamb upon his throne. Hark how the heavenly anthem drowns, all music but its own. Awake my soul and sing of him who died for thee, and hail him as thy matchless king. Through all eternity, crown him the Lord of love. Behold his hands and side, rich wounds yet visible above. Thou hast died for me, thy praise shall never